And the left mouse button should advance your slides.
Okay. Hi, I'm Leslie Snyder, and welcome to the presentation. I just want to acknowledge the many co-authors who are involved in this project. As I was thinking about issues of tailored interventions, one of the ways of breaking down thinking about interventions in general is this dichotomy between when do we go small in particular audiences and when can we go big. So there are issues of cost effectiveness, of it's cheaper to try to reach many people at the same time with the same message if we can, if it's appropriate. But on the other hand, we know it's less effective in many instances to try to go very big. So that balance. Going from a one message for all with very little individualization to our typical approach of targeting by groups of people and then making separate interventions or campaigns for those groups of people to a more tailored approach where there is very high differentiation on the individual level. But there's a lot more message development up front to figure out what kind of messages for what kinds of characteristics of individuals and crossing all those characteristics and coming out with the appropriate messages. So if it takes more effort, is it worth it? Is the sort of one bottom line question that we were trying to address in this study. So just to get on the same definitional page, a tailored intervention collects information about an individual. And you can see the kinds of things that are typically collected. And then they use that information in order to create the message and deliver the message that is appropriate for the person given their particular bundle of characteristics. So here's an example of a tailored intervention that was done by Matt Kruder and company. And in this case, it is a calendar. And what they're trying to promote is childhood immunization. So they located parents that have kids who were just born, and they take pictures of the child, get a picture of the child, and then make an individualized calendar that has a picture of their child on it. And among the many bits of health information on here is the immunization schedule, particular for their child with given their birthday, birth month. So then they would continue to receive these calendars in the month and in the mail every month. So this is one an example of a print tailored intervention. And you can see the data on the bottom showing that this was an effective one. So there have been a couple of other meta-analyses. One of the co-authors, Seth Knorr, had done one just of print-based interventions and found that they're very effective on average. There's also been a look at just nutrition interventions, and again, those delivered on computer were found to be effective, although that's a limited subset of just a smaller number of studies that are in the literature in order to draw conclusions. And another study just looking at mammography testing that also showed it to be effective. So our questions were, what is the effectiveness of tailored health communication interventions across different communication channels? And then looking at something that has long been of interest to me, but trying to figure out how to get a handle on this, and that is looking at the rates of decay of our intervention. So we know that typically, after we finish an intervention, that's probably right at that moment is probably the peak of our effectiveness. That's when we're at our best. When do we need to go back and recontact people with the similar intervention or with the next one? How long a time gap can we afford to go? What does that decay rate look like? How do we strategize to think about having communication with people over time in an ongoing way so that we're not losing all of our effects over time? So we searched the databases. The studies that we found came from 1989 was the earliest one that we found in the literature. We would gladly have gone earlier. and we were collecting the data through for 2006. Of the studies, there were a total of 98 effect sizes in there. So that means that these were separate studies that were reported in a total of 75 studies. And we used the standardized mean difference, a D score, as our effect size measure. So what I'm reporting here, that's the unit, is in D. The relationship between D and R is, for those of you that are more familiar with a correlation coefficient than with D, if that's what you're used to, D is about twice R. So you can take the effect sizes that I show you, cut them in half, and that represents an R, if that's the world of effect sizes you're more used to. Okay, so first, let's look across channels and just averaging everything. Now, here we're looking at the short-term effects, so it's the earliest reporting period, right as the intervention is ending or right after it's over. And the most effective one, as the headline says here, is that print seem to be more effective. But not far behind that is interpersonal tailored interventions, where somebody's got a script that they're working from as they're in a more clinical type of or outreach encounter with someone. And that's followed behind computer and phone in terms of the short-term effects. There is a drop-off in the effects over time, which we expected, having looked at many interventions over time. And you can see that the print, by the time you get 48 months out, the print is no longer the most effective, and the computer seems to drop. I'm not willing to, at this point, say that that means you shouldn't try a computer intervention. I think it means that we're still working out the kinks in that one and need to figure out how to make that better. But you can also see that the interpersonal has a less precipitous decay over time, which is interesting to know. Okay. Another facet of looking at these things over time is thinking about, within this literature, there are two different kinds of control groups. One kind of control group is that there is no intervention. So you're comparing a tailored intervention to nothing. And what's that difference in effect sizes? So if we did nothing, you know, how much better off are we at doing this tailored intervention than not doing anything at all? Another common design is looking at something that's close to a standard care, harder to define in a communication intervention. So in this case, it's typically, but not always, a print intervention with a brochure and pamphlets that they're reading. And so compared against that, how well are the tailored interventions, where there's so many more developmental costs in coming up with this stuff, and then separate delivery issues too often. So how much more are you getting by doing a tailored intervention than one of these standard print interventions? And the answer is a good deal. So the difference in the D is averaging around 0.18, and I was fascinated to learn that it is staying fairly constant over time, that advantage, which means that those decay rates that we saw in the tailored interventions continue and are parallel to the decay rates in the non-tailored interventions. That's why this line would be straight. And unfortunately, given the way the methodologies are, I can't just show you a line for the non-tailored. But other lessons that we had from this study was that looking at the long term, because that's ultimately what I care more about. Yes, I want to know what's going to give us our short-term peaks, but I'm also really concerned about how this is going to play over time. What were the variables that mattered for those longer-term effects? And what we found is that when the intervention is more recent, meaning we are getting better in our tailored methodology now than we were in the studies that were done in 1989 or in the early 90s. So over time, we've gotten better. That's not an uncommon finding in meta-analysis in general. It's reassuring, though, in this context, that we are learning from what we've been doing in the past. I have no explanation as to why the interventions work better with women, and I don't know enough across different interventions to say that this is a general pattern or not. Don't know. there were, and this to me was interesting, no meaningful topic differences, such as the in as much as we had different topics and could look at this for subsets of topics, there were no differences, which would, in my mind, say for something that's not represented, then this methodology for an intervention is still a very good candidate, even though it hasn't been tried yet in that domain. And as we had many, many moderators that we were looking at, most of them dropped out over time. So what a lot of things that mattered at the short term didn't matter anymore. The long term things sort of evened out. So that's why I pulled out the things that really mattered at the longer term. Okay, so lessons. One, tailored interventions can be very valuable. It's a nice tool to keep in your tool chest as you're thinking about a new issue or one that you've been working in a long time and you want to know whether this new technique or a different technique for you would help make a difference. And it looks like they do have a comparative advantage over other techniques. They seem to outperform more traditional non-tailored, which maybe is what you're doing, but maybe is not what you're doing. So the comparison may not quite be enough for you to see whether this is going to give you more bang for your effort. But they are outperforming other interventions by 0.18. And I've done meta-analyses of campaign effect sizes, and campaign effect sizes go from about 0.05 to 0.09 as an R. So that's about what this difference is. So it's like doing a whole nother media campaign on top of whatever effort you're doing, and you get this effect size. So in a comparison sense. The rate of decay, I think that these results are really important, suggesting that we do need to go back to people after about 3 months because we're already seeing serious decay with that relatively, in a public health intervention world, relatively short period of time. So we do need to be concerned about this over time. And that certainly by 4 to 6 months after, it's becoming problematic. And we definitely need more research in general on behavior maintenance. So thank you very much, and I think I've got time for questions. Yes?
Can you mean an automated telephone, or was that a person?
We didn't code, so it could be either one. I think from this that most of these were in-person, hotline type of setups. What would I say to them? I'd say I would say blunt, like tailored interventions are twice as effective as the other stuff you're doing. That's what I would tell them.
Did you find any, or were you able to analyze on which tailoring elements were more effective? Did you go ahead and take that?
What kind of elements are you thinking of?
Oh, there were a million up there. So message framing or demographics or those personal characteristics, did you take that out that fine?
What I showed you were the moderators that mattered in the long-term analysis. So there were some things that mattered in the short term that I didn't show you. Mm-hmm. But by the time you get to long term, those things don't seem to matter.
So it wouldn't matter between race, ethnicity, and message framing, or wow.
No, not in as much as we've seen. Yeah. Yes, but I mean, let me caution you about the limit of meta-analysis. What you're analyzing is the deck that you've been given. So it depends on what people are doing and what they publish of what they've done. And it also depends very much on what they report. So you're very dependent on what somebody puts in a study to be able to know whether you are coding that study. So it's prone to error in as much as many journals in public health have very short word requirements, and so something that we're coding may be invisible to us because the authors felt of the many things they needed to put in the report, they couldn't squeeze that bit of information in, so it may have been invisible to us. Okay, thank you.